When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Dave Wunstead hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We love when Coach Wunstead comes in with us and we can break it all down. And Dave, I think the way you explain things, very interesting. A lot of people love sort of the inside look at things. I just worry that they're ruining this quarterback, that this quarterback is getting sacked way too many times. And you know, I really don't care if it's his fault or he's responsible. It feels like he's been told that his job is to not turn the ball over, don't throw any picks, and he is willing to take a sack rather than attempt a pass or try. I mean, he's not playing free in any way, and he's under ridiculous amount of pressure. So run the damn ball. Don't put him back at the end of the game and have him try to throw the ball down the field and get sacked three times in a row.
Yeah, way too many dropbacks. And let me give you a reference. We were, I guess it was my first or second year at the Dolphins, and we were going to play. This is a story that'll kind of fit what we're talking about. We were going to play Tennessee down there. They had Steve McNair, Eddie George, the freak on defense. They had never lost in that stadium, okay? Yeah. It was a Sunday night game. Open up the season. And Chan Gailey, Tony Wise, went into Chan Gailey, our offensive coordinator, and he says, Chan, I don't think we can block these guys. And Chan said, really? Okay, let's talk. What are you talking about? Look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. Okay, Chan comes into my office. He says, hey, Dave, we're not going to have any drop back passes in the game plan this week. I said, what? He says, we can't block these guys. Tony's convinced of it, and he's convinced me. So every third down we get in, here's what we're going to run. We're going to run a screen here. We're going to run a quarterback draw. We're going to run a halfback. But we are not going to drop back and throw the ball in this game. And I said, really? And I was laughing. I says, are you serious? He says, Coach, we want to win the game. We can't block them. We were beat up just about like the Bears were. Well, check the score, okay? Check the score. It was like 35 to 15 or so. I don't know what the score. I mean, we beat them.
So what's the lesson from that?
The lesson was the starting point is your offensive line.
Okay, but
And I think that I like the Bears offensive line coach. I think he's damn good. I've watched him work. I've had conversations with him. But he's the run game coordinator, but he needs to speak up and maybe tell Shane Waldron and David or Matt Eberflus or somebody, guys, my guys can't do that, okay? They would like to try. They're going to give you everything they got, but this is where we're at. And then
you're starting over essentially with a new play caller, a new approach, because you've got to limit what you can give Caleb Williams to handle and limit what your offensive line is asked to do.
Did you see what they did, what New England did? They ran that. Their number one run is that stretch play.
Yeah.
They run that stretch to the left. Then they come back and run that stretch to the left. Then they come back and they fake. All the blocking is exactly like the stretch. Great fake by the running back. And what's the quarterback do? He boots out to the right. There's two guys open. He throws one for 20-some yards.
How hard will it be, though?
Everything needs to be set up off the run game.
Of course.
The play action off the run game.
That's always going to be what you lean in toward and on if you are trying to simplify things. But say they have a first-time play caller on Sunday. Say it's Thomas Brown. Isn't he going to be trying to make an impression with his own play calling genius? I mean, these offensive coordinators fall in love with their own ideas.
David, that's Flus's responsibility.
Okay.
That's Flus's responsibility.
How hard is that going to be to do? I don't trust the Bears to be able to do that.
But he's taking Flus out as defensive coordinator. If you listen to what Dave's saying, Flus is not the play caller. he has got to be the guy that is monitoring and
I don't know that's going to happen.
I want to do what the Eagles are doing, David.
Okay.
I want to run the ball 60% of the time. And I want to throw off the run, show me two deep passes a half that we're going to whale back and we're going to throw it to DJ or somebody deep, okay? Now show me the runs. What runs are we going to run? These four? Okay. Show me what play pass we got off each one of them. That's our game plan. Let's go to work.
I think when you talk about the amount of injuries they have on an offensive line, generally speaking, offensive linemen have been doing – they've been playing the position their whole lives. They want to get lathered up and get moving forward. They don't want to be stepping back and trying to deal with better athletes than they are. So you can try – you can try to run, and you can try to kind of mug and move forward, even with so-called backup offensive linemen.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, and they didn't do anything fancy, guys. They ran some the fifth sack that was on Caleb with the nickel guy or the spy. Everyone's calling him the spy guy, number 41. I don't even know his name, from New England. But we motioned in Roshan and Komet in the backfield.
Yes.
So we had five up front, and those two guys, we had seven blockers. I loved it. And but the problem was they picked us, and this guy came around in our tackle, and Roshan didn't get back out on the linebacker, and they get a sack, you know. But the idea was there. We just didn't execute it. I mean, I've been in games where we've gone that route too now, one, two receiver routes.
Yeah.
You know, we can't block them. We can't block them. On another side, North Turner, okay, and Tony White. I'm just giving you guys stories, okay? And we were playing the number one blitz team in the NFL was Bill Parcells and the Cowboys at that time. And Tony says, we can't handle them. Can't handle them. You know, and North says, well, then we'll bring extra blockers in. So I says, well, who are we going to throw to? He says, well, we got Chris Chamber, we had two guys we could throw to, and he says, well, Coach, we're going to run all two receiver routes because we got to protect, we got to get the ball. So, I mean, you know, I guess I'm coming back to this, David, that it all starts with what can we do to give our linemen a chance to be successful, run and pass, and then you build your game plan.
Okay, so this is about personnel, and it's about scheme, it's about how to, you know, get first downs and score touchdowns. But if Matt Eberflus were to ask for your advice this week in the midst of a crisis that's represented by a three-game losing streak, Dave, we didn't see it yesterday. Matt Eberflus is, I don't know if he's getting bad advice or no advice at all, but he's not speaking in simple, strong, clear messages. He's not being head coach-like. Why? What's happened to him, and why can't he just come out and assert his own brand of leadership? He's not reacting. He's very tentative, and through this time of crisis, players are calling out other players with Jalen Johnson. You see all the stuff that we've seen over the last 3 weeks and heard. How do you get a hold of what's going on in your locker room and with your franchise?
Yeah, no, it's I heard Flus's thing. You know, it's Monday. He says we got a long day, and so I mean, he's got to be. He knows in his heart what he needs to do, and in my mind, this is a tough decision. You know, it's the same old thing. You can lose a couple games, but don't lose those players. And I think that offensively, we're probably right on the fence right now. And I think that if he was in the meetings with the players and he was in the meetings with the coaches, and he says, I'm not going to call the plays, guys, but we're going to make some adjustments this week on our game plan and how we go out and beat Green Bay. I think it would be a shot in the arm. I really do. I really do. And like I say, he doesn't need to draw plays, or he ain't going to call offensive plays, but you'd be damn sure that you are on top of it. And, you know, as far as your runs, your play passes, that you're getting what you want, that you're getting what you want to give your team a chance to be successful and to help that poor defense. God, we can't stay on the field on third down. You can say what you want about our defense. You know, we held them one. They got points one time out of three in the red zone.
Right.
We did come up with the interception. They were 35% in third down, New England was, which not great, but, you know, we're better than that. So, I mean, the defense, but, boy, they just, you know, when it's three and out,
yeah,
that's mentally as well as physically. That is tough on a defense. I've been there.
I'm curious, Dave. So when we look at changing play caller, you can't change the scheme that you run.
No.
One of the complications
don't
here,
have to.
But one of the complications is that the guy that put the offense together, it's his system, and he kind of. I mean, I don't know that you fire him because you're in the middle of the season, and I'm having a hard time thinking of a team that changed their offensive system in the middle of a year and managed to have success, right? So you can change the play caller and you can maybe simplify some of the things you're doing, but having that guy still on your staff might be a benefit for you. I just mean that because you can't change everything about it. So Waldron probably is going to get fired, but I don't know that that's the best move to make.
Yeah, I'm not saying get rid of him off the staff, but we got to shake it up somehow, and we got to shake it up somehow. And I'm just trying to, you know, everybody's it's a tough spot on everybody, players, coaches, everybody. But that would be a solution that I would have. I mean, Buffalo changed it midstream last year, right? Buffalo with their coordinator, I remember that one. I can't remember any. I'm sure there's more. But maybe it's not talked about as much big of a topic, you know?
We've got some breaking news here on the Score.
Yeah, we have breaking news. Breaking news on 670 Score presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Jonathan Jones from CBS is reporting the Bears have fired offensive coordinator Shane Waldron. A source tells Jonathan Jones from CBS. So as we sit here and talk about what his role will be, it seems that the Bears have moved on from their play caller.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, and I would not be surprised if DJ Moore, and I'm throwing this out. This is all, you know, just in my crazy mind here thinking DJ Moore with Caleb, with Cole Kmet,
yeah,
that they don't walk into Flus's office yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And say, or maybe after the game, and say, Coach, we got to do something. We're not giving ourselves a chance to be successful. So I would be willing to bet that the players had an opinion on this thing when it's all said and
done.
Do
you think that they needed to say that for that to be clear to Matt Eberflus? It
maybe.
Should be crystal clear, Dave.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, David, but maybe. I mean, I think it just makes a coach's mind up. It just makes the decision a little more clear.
A little easier. And according to Tom Pelissero, Thomas Brown, as expected, will take over as offensive coordinator and assuming that he will call the plays beginning Sunday against the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, this is an indictment, not to cut you off. I'm sorry. But this is a little bit on indictment on who you're hiring and what's your hiring process, guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What's fair.
What the hell? I mean,
so
you hire a guy and then halfway through the scene you don't like what we're doing on offense. What did you talk about on the interview?
Well, you talked about sharing an agent, and you have to wonder at what point that came into play, because you did have an interview process where you interviewed guys who were hired elsewhere, and you hired the guy who had a representative that also represents your general manager and your head coach. So you have to wonder, Dave, as much as Trace Armstrong is the guy that played for you, you have to wonder what role he played in this disaster because it was a bad hire.
Yeah, I don't know on that. I don't have a comment.
Well, I
wish I
that
did.
That wasn't a question.
No,
I know.
But you got me.
I'm sorry.
They say ultimately it was your coaching of Trace that led to this problem, Dave.
Is he pissed off at the Bears? Is he mad at the Bears?
Two different
of the way
stuff.
I yelled at him.
He can't be mad at the Bears. I mean, the Bears are hiring his clients all over the place.
Well, I'm kidding.
He's joking. But I do. I want to ask this question: how many? You've gone through offensive coordinators, plenty of them in your career. How many are you allowed in one tenure?
Wow. I mean, I don't know.
He's gone through two.
Yeah. It's you know, and I don't understand that. I said this 10 times on this show. When I got my job at the Bears, Parcells says, come here. We were at the combine. He says, who are you going to hire as your offensive coordinator? And I told him, I said, Ron Turner. He says, he'll run the ball. You know it. He says, because all these damn guys are going to tell you in an interview, they want to run the football because they know your mentality, tough defense.
Mm-hmm.
He says, most of them don't believe in it. And they're going to just tell
everybody
you.
Everybody lies at a job interview.
But every coordinator I interviewed, Chane Gailey was a triple option guy at Troy State.
Right?
And Norv Turner, you know what he did there. Matt Kavanaugh, we were together as players. So every guy that I'm hiring as offensive coordinator, I'm looking him in the eye. And you know what I'm thinking? Bill Parcells' story. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, so it was never an issue with me. And I think the development, let's go back to what Tom Brady did. Bill Belichick, they played defense. I don't know if their defense when Brady was starting, and I played against Brady his first game. I don't think their defense was as good as ours, but they didn't care. It was running game, play action, a few screens. A trick play. That was it. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. Let's go.
Tom Brady's going to be calling the game Sunday for Fox. Can he also call some plays?
Wow. Is he really?
Yes. Yeah. He's going to be here in town.
Wow. Huh.
Well, I think...
He's an owner now. I don't know if he can be a player.
That's true.
Wow, that's interesting.
Have you ever done this as a head coach? Change play callers in midseason? And have you any knowledge of examples where it's worked?
No. I've never done it, and I would have to think that through. I know it's happened. I remember when it happened at University of Miami.
It's a desperate move.
It happened.
So you're throwing out the playbook.
Buffalo Bills.
Same playbook, different play call.
No. Same plays, Molly.
Okay, but
same playbook.
Honest.
Different sequencing.
Does the guy that's now calling him know the system, or has he learned it through the other?
Thomas Brown?
You're a step removed from the guy who had the vision of what this was.
Maybe you take out, you know, six runs, and you cut it down to four.
You know what they can do? They should take out the bubble screen to DJ Moore.
Yeah, well,
take that one out.
Okay. All you're going to do is,
I agree.
And this is another thing that I
jet sweep.
Take the jet sweep. Take the goal line out.
I had five drop. I had say we had four drop back passes on third and long. Let's use that number.
Okay,
they're on the board right here.
All right.
David walks in and says, you know what, coach? This will be a great play on third and long. You know what I say? Okay, guys, that's great. Which one are we taking off the board? Because we ain't adding six. We're going to have five. So you keep those numbers down that you can practice. And
you simplify and you simplify. And when you talk about a rookie quarterback, you don't let him make every decision. If he's the guy that is misreading something you tell him, hey, we're handing the ball off on this play, hand it off to this guy. And then you stay with that. You don't give him multiple options and ask for him to be able to read things and figure things out. Simplify everything to the point where you try to take advantage of what he can do. And you know, I told David this earlier. I talked to Phil Simms one time who said that Parcells would say to him sometimes before games, like, only two picks, no more. You can't throw away the ball more than that. You know, don't make the kid so obsessed with playing perfect.
It's a great point, and you wonder how he's going to respond now. So people just catching up with this. The Bears have fired Shane Waldron. They have appointed Thomas Brown the new offensive coordinator. He will call the plays against the Green Bay Packers. Does that give you, Dave, optimism that the Bears are in a better position to beat the Green Bay Packers?
I want to know what Matt Eberflus, which Coach Flus, where are you going to be and what has changed with your responsibility? That, to me, is the key.
So if he gives up play calling.
Coach, I would not let an offensive play being called without me hearing it on
that
Sunday.
Should be the case anyway, Dave. Yeah.
Yes.
Every single game, he's a head coach.
That's yes,
right.
You're
why
right.
Why should he be reminded of this?
Well, you know why? Right. Here's the simple reason. Because the only thing that saved his job a year ago is that he became the defensive coordinator. That's how he saved his job. So now, is it going to save his job to give up defensive play calling?
It'd be hard
to convince him of that.
I think you're weakening yourself as a team if you do that, because this is a guy that 6 weeks ago, we're calling an elite play
caller. Can't he still do that? Can't he be the guy on third down who says, hey, we're blitzing here from Kyler Gordon's coming off the – can't he still do that if he's not calling every play?
100%. Guys, I want a pressure now. Eric, run a pressure. Eric, play zone right here. You know, and let Eric Washington have a little bit more responsibility. I think Matt Eberflus needs to be in these damn offensive meetings this week, guys.
He needs to be a better head coach, period.
That's just
overall.
That's just
multitask.
My opinion.
Everybody does it. Come on.
Flus is a smart guy. He gets it. Go ahead, do that. Let Eric take a little pressure off you there. The players will respond a little bit more on offense. They'll take some pressure off the new guy calling plays.
Love it, Dave. Love it.
Love it. Dave, thank you. This is all so exciting. I don't know why, but it's different. Change can fire you up a little bit. Maybe this is the move.
It's a response. That's why it's exciting.
Dave, are you picking the Packers?
Well, I'm not talking about that yet. We got a lot of news. Who knows what the hell happened tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, right. What should we go with? Do we talk about they fired a guy, or do we talk about the new building?
Let's talk about both. We come back.
Oh God, new
Mully
building.
Mully and Haw on Score.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Will Shane remain on the staff this week?
Like I said, you know, the process of that, we're going through that right now. And all those adjustments and changes and things that we're going to do, we're still in the evaluation phase of that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is the voice of the head coach, Matt Eberflus, who now has fired his offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. It's pretty astounding, David, when you consider Luke Getsy was fired earlier this year. But
in season by the Raiders.
But he was here at Chicago for 2 years.
And he gave him 2 years to prove himself, and he didn't, and he was fired. That was the Justin Fields era ending. Luke Getsy left town. I think what this reflects as much as anything is the desperation that now exists at Hallis Hall. This is a sense of urgency move. This is a move that is made by a head coach that is wondering where his future might be headed. And it's in the wrong direction right now after three straight losses. You don't do this if you're confident you're coming back. You don't do this if you're confident in your own, I think, status and employment position as a head coach.
How many teams have done this?
I think it's happened. I mean,
it's definitely happened. Yeah, I'm just wondering if you can. Listen, people get ill. Different things occur. But I'm just trying to remember, you know, can I think of some young coordinator that met his moment and then ended up, like, I just.
We'll have to do some research there.
I think
because
you're right. It's desperation.
It doesn't come to mind because there are not a lot of examples that are obvious ones. Yeah. This is more addition by subtraction.
Yes.
This is rid yourself of the Shane Waldron influence on your quarterback, on your offense, on your passing game. I'm sorry, but that's the way to look at it. So it's been a busy, newsy morning, Mully. To recap everything that's happened since about 7 o'clock this morning, Crane's Chicago is reporting that the Bears are reconsidering the Michael Reese site for a new stadium, pivoting away from the site south of Soldier Field. That has a lot of ramifications. That's a Kevin Warren move. We'll talk about that as the week continues. But this breaking news within the past hour, Shane Waldron out, Thomas Brown in. The Bears have a new play caller and a new offensive coordinator for Sunday's game against the Packers.
And that's the third of the tenure of the head coach. So he's going with his third different offensive coordinator, and that is never a recipe for long-term employment. This is, as you say, the Bears are 9 games in. There are 17 games in the season. They now play the division portion of the schedule, and that is the most difficult portion of the schedule. They're in the best division in football. The 2 games outside it include last year's Super Bowl representative, the San Francisco 49ers, and a Seattle team that is not a pushover, let's say it that way.
And is no longer the Shane Waldron revenge game.
No. But unless you're talking about two franchises that have the same bone to pick.
I think when you look at where the Bears are, 4-5 with 8 games left in the schedule, year 3 of Matt Eberflus's regime.
That's it.
Firing your offensive coordinator right now, as we just said and described it as a desperation move, you've got to win more than you lose this year. We said that going into the season. I think at this stage, because you have the teeth of the schedule remaining, if you don't win more games than you did last year, you are essentially giving your boss reason to dismiss you. I think you're giving them grounds for firing. If you're Matt Eberflus, I think you have to look at the second half of the season. You're 4-5 right now. If you don't win 8 games and show progress, I think you're gone. I think you realize that.
I think we felt that way before the season started. In fact, I think we had him, you got to win this year. This is your win year.
Yeah, but we also always qualified it. Like, yeah. It depends on how you get there.
Well, that's true.
How do you get to 9-8? How do you get to 8-9? I think it depends on how you feel after the final game of the season when it's at Lambeau Field. If you lose again and you are 7-10, going nowhere, running in place, you've got to make a move. I know that's 8 games away. It seems like a long time from now, but I can tell you, the way you interpret this move this morning is that Matt Eberflus is considering that reality because he knows his future is in jeopardy. And how do you know it? Because Shane Waldron is out as the offensive coordinator.
We have a statement from Matt Eberflus. Here it is. After evaluating our entire operation, I decided that it is in the best interest of our team to move on in a different direction with the leadership of our offense. This decision was well thought out. This decision was well thought out, one, and it was conducted deliberately and respectfully.
Well, that means that he just gave Shane Waldron time to go out with saying goodbye to everybody. Or I don't know that I could not have done this yesterday. I don't think it took all the deliberate evaluation to understand that your offense was going nowhere and you were seeing regression in your quarterback.
Continuing, I would like to thank Shane for his efforts and wish him the best moving forward. Thomas is a bright offensive mind who has experience calling plays with a collaborative mindset. I look forward to his leadership over our offensive coaching staff and his plan for our players. That's Matt Eberflus after firing his offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. Let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Jose is in the western suburbs. Hey, Jose.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
I just want to say, Shane Waldron, we've been waiting for this. It's time to cook now.
Okay.
I am so excited.
You're excited?
I am. Because who's worse than Shane Waldron?
Well, we're going to find out.
Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you ask.
Yeah. You know, I think that there might be a level of excitement and enthusiasm because the Bears are reacting and responding in the way that the fan base wanted them to react and respond. I don't know what changes, but I don't know how much worse it could get. 23 straight possessions without a touchdown, 2 games without a touchdown. You can't go backward any further, can you?
I mean, listen, if you
did. Xavier McKinney would say yes, you could.
Have you seen that offensive line? Buddy?
Have you seen the Packer defense?
Well.
They still lead the league in takeaways. They are a takeaway machine. So this is a huge challenge for Thomas Brown.
But that Jordan Love will throw the ball away for you.
Yeah, he will. He'll throw you the football.
Yeah, get the ball. John's on the Odyssey app. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Hey, it's been a long time since I spoke to you guys, but listen, that's not good enough. That was not good enough. That's just like pacifying somebody saying, here, take this little bit in a – everything's okay. It's not okay.
What else do you want?
What else do you want?
What would you like them to do?
What would satisfy you then?
They should have fired the coach. They should have fired him. He should have been gone and stop it. We might win one more game. We might.
Hmm.
Thanks for the phone call.
Thank you.
They're
buddy.
Not firing their head coach in season. They never have done that historically.
I mean, and who are you replacing him with? You know, Thomas Brown. you say what you want about them making a change. At least this guy has performed the role.
At least he's done the job before.
At least he's had to come in during a season and take over the job.
You have nobody on your staff that is qualified or has experience being an NFL head coach, interim or otherwise, and I just don't think that it is realistic to expect them to fire Matt Eberflus 9 games into the season.
But it's worth asking, has Flusy thrown his last Gatsby party?
Well, those come in the summer, and it's fair to wonder if he will still be employed by the Bears next summer.
All right, let's try Vic. Vic's in Palatine. Hey, Vic.
Hi, how are you? I would compare this. I don't think it matters, really, if you give the ball to Allen or what kind of plays are called. This is an aggregate thing. This is this is the whole organization as a whole, the system. Brian Poles is the mayor of it all. He runs the city, and he hired his underlings. He hired his guys that, you know, would be, you know, hey, you know, they're not natural leaders. And then you got the guy that's holding the purse strings secretly, and he's the George Soros of it all, and that is Trace Armstrong. It's going to take years for this team to recover from all of this, years. And we're being duped. They could take this team out of the city, out of the state, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm not paying a dime for their and the White Sox, you could add them to it, too.
How'd the White Sox get into this? Thanks, Vic. Appreciate the phone call.
Yeah. Let's go after all of them.
The White Sox caught a stray. Wow. That's quite a morning.
By the way.
Yes. By the way, the Sox.
This has become a continuation of the Sox season, so let's go.
Which is worse, the Bears going 4-5 after all the expectations, or the White Sox losing 121 games? Let us know. 312-644-6767.
Listen, the reality of life is, right, you lose three games in a row in the NFL, and you got to make a move. You are a head coach in your third year, and you barely got through to year three, and you got to make a move.
You do.
And
have
you got to take control of your team, and guess what? If you win against the Green Bay Packers, if you somehow – create some sort of momentum to your season, you can still save your job.
You can.
It wasn't going very well.
That's why this is happening.
That's why.
There's still an attempt and there's still interest in him keeping his job. This is why he's acting in the way he's acting. Look, this is people wanted this to happen. And people can blow a gasket because Matt Eberflus is not identifying this as a crisis. Whatever he said,
that identifies it as a crisis.
It doesn't matter. Okay. This is what he's
firing the
doing.
Offensive coordinator yes. would say, yes, team in crisis.
This is labeling this as a crisis. Point. The Bears are no in crisis question. Mode. They're getting a new play caller.
Is this panic?
I think that it's a cutthroat league. And
that's
you can
it.
You can define it as panic if you wish. We'll find out on Sunday.
I don't know that he had another option. I mean, he had to take away play calling. Could he have left the guy in the booth sitting up there? I don't know.
Because of his own diminished credibility, he had no other
That's
option.
It. That's right.
If he was a guy that you trusted yes. more, if he had a guy with more gravitas in NFL head coaching circles, you could justify sticking by your guy because you believe in the head coach. As it is, you don't have that confidence in town.
He's clutching to his diminished credibility. That's all that
he's
got
trying to
left.
Reestablish some.
That's it.
And this is an attempt to do that. It's a desperate plea to say, trust me. I don't know that it's going to resonate. We'll find out how the players respond because
yeah.
I think that this says to them that they're not giving up on this season, even though you see signs that some of the players might have.
Wow. Wow. This is quite a thing. We got Mike Florio next. We're going to bring in Mr. NFL Talk, and we'll find out. Mike must have a list of guys that have had successful. Didn't Baltimore fire Trestman and get better? I don't know. I mean, I think
the Baltimore Ravens did have an experience similar to this. We'll have to get to the details, and Mike Florio will have certainly an opinion on this.
And Mike will probably pick the Bears to win against both Green Bay and Minnesota, if I know Mike. No, we'll find out. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We can't beat, beat!
We can't beat,
beat!
Won't
beat, beat!
What's up, Mr.
Gator? NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us as all guests do. Brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Doing well. Busy morning.
We got a busy morning. There's a lot going on. The Bears have fired their offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. I don't know that they had much of an option. What was your take on it? What are you hearing about it?
Well, we talked about this on PFT Live before it happened. Anytime you get to this point of the season – where you're basically rearranging the deck chairs, right? The season's a disaster. This is a desperation move. This is a, we have to do something to make it look like we're trying. And does it really change anything? Who's going to suddenly come in and wave a magic wand and make the offense better? Is it going to be somebody else who's part of the same offensive coaching staff that got the coordinator fired? Are you going to bring in somebody from the outside like the Raiders did last week with Norv Turner basically jumping into a DeLorean and taking it back to the 90s? I don't understand why these half measures happen. They're just a way, I think, to placate the fans through the media because we expect them to do something. How about stay the course? How about let's try to work through these rough spots? And the problem is this. We touched on this today as well. The team let the expectations and the hype get out of control. And this is where you need a head coach who's going to go into the marketing offices, go into the PR offices and say, hey, let's stop this, okay? Look at our division. Look at the Lions. Look at the Packers. Look at the Vikings. This isn't going to be easy. Why are we leaning into this idea that all of a sudden we're the monsters of the Midway again? It's 1985 all over again, except with a great offense instead of a great defense. The Bears did a horrible job of managing expectations. So 4-5 looks like a failure, and now they got to do something to make it better. I don't think it's going to make it better. It just delays the inevitable, and it feels inevitable that when the season ends, if not sooner, they're going to be in the market for a new head coach.
Fair enough, Mike, but you couldn't stay the course. I mean, Shane Waldron lost his opportunity to claim the job when he ran the speed option against the Colts, and then he handed the ball to a backup lineman against the Commanders. I mean, this is not somebody who represented himself very well, so I think you understand why this move was made. You stay the course and you keep on banging your head against the wall. I mean, you're waiting for something different to happen. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but there's nobody in Chicago thinking this is an overreaction.
Do you think Matt Eberflus didn't have the ability to veto that play against Washington? Do you think he didn't have an opportunity in the headset to say, no, what the hell are you doing, Shane, give your head a shake. We're not running that play here. The head coach is responsible for everything. My point is,
well, they're not firing him, though. They need to respond somewhere.
Well, that's my point.
Not now.
If you're going to do anything at this point, fire the coach.
Yeah.
Because firing the offensive coordinator isn't going to make it better. Tell me, how is it going to get better? I'm not defending Shane Waldron. I'm just being realistic. How is it going to get better? By firing Shane Waldron and picking a guy from his staff who's part of the problem and saying, now you run the show.
Well, I think, again, I don't know if he was part of the problem. I think the weird element here is that the Bears drafted the first overall pick, and now they got a guy that's going to take over play calling as he did a year ago for the first overall pick.
That's a weird coincidence.
Isn't that really odd?
But you talk all the time about accountability. This is accountability. You don't do your job, you get fired. I mean, this is something that I think Matt Eberflus has not had many good moments this year as a head coach. This is one of them. He didn't handle yesterday well, but he needed to do this today. It's a start.
Well, it's a start, but it is just one step closer to the end. That's the reality.
Yep.
And look, I say this all the time, and I mean nothing but respect to the McCaskies. Bad teams flow from bad ownership, and the ownership has to be willing to provide the direction in moments like this. And if the ownership isn't going to do it, then the team president has to do it. But I just think that it's a reaction. It's not an overreaction. It's a reaction fueled by circumstances that create an expectation there will be a reaction because 4-5 isn't good enough because we let people think we were going to be great this year. Look at, in Minnesota, Vikings fans are mad at me because I'm saying, hey, the ceiling this year is the divisional round. There's no way they're getting past the divisional round if they even get that far. And the Vikings fans are like, well, so what? It's more than we ever expected. We were supposed to be horrible this year. Crafting that narrative heading into the season is so critical, and the Bears embraced it because it sells.
Think big, though. What do you want them to do? Think small? We're going to be in fourth place this year?
All I'm saying is, when you embrace those expectations, 4-5 looks a lot worse than it would if the expectations were, we're going to be ass this year. 4-5 looks pretty damn good if those are the expectations.
Okay, execution's a problem. Having expectations is not the problem. You want teams to go into the season with ambition. You want them to be bold like that.
That's two different things. Internal ambition and external expectations are two different things. And Devin McCourty had a great quote about the sign that's on the way in the door and the sign that's on the way out the door in New England under Bill Belichick. But it's all about ignoring the hype and managing the expectations. That's the key. The Bears did a bad job of managing external expectations. Internally, you can have all the ambition in the world. You just don't need to lean into this idea that all of a sudden the Bears are going to show up and get to the Super Bowl. I think that's part of the problem. It's not all of it, but that's one of the ingredients that creates this idea that we want a pound of flesh now because we're disappointed because the Bears are 4-5. So they need to do something to make us think they give a crap. I almost said the other word. That is where it becomes a problem because, again, tell me how it's going to get better. Who's going to come in and make it better?
Great stuff, Mike. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
That is Mike Florio. Good, fun stuff from Mike, as always. And we're going to get into this. We're going to talk to our buddy Jared Payton in a little bit. We're going to continue with the phone calls. A lot of people want to check in. 312-644-6767. We got a lot of stuff going on here, and we are willing to talk about the stadium. We're willing to talk about your created or imagined expectations, and we're certainly
Shane Waldron out, Thomas Brown in.
That's the
and
big
the
news.
Bears have pivoted, looking at the Michael Reese site.
That's right. So that's good stuff, and we'll get to it immediately. Thanks so much for listening today, and God, I'm having a blast. I know I shouldn't wallow in anyone's misfortune, but there's something about change that fires you up a little bit. I don't know that they're going to be any better. I don't know that this is going to calm anybody
down. It's a response.
But it is at least
we asked for a response, and we got one.
Mully and Haw on the score.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.